Mark 12, verse 28. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12, and verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to just, Lord, use this sermon this morning as a sounding board in our life. Lord, the world wants us to conform to its way of thinking. You want us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by thinking biblically, by thinking scripturally. And so I pray that you'll help us to do that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The mindset of the victorious Christian, we are basing the entire series, as far as a starting point, out of Romans chapter number 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." How can we be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. One of the things we've tried to emphasize is this. You know what, folks? Saved people do not think the same as lost people. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." You know what? A lost person, I can't expect them to think like I think. They're not going to think like I think. But the Bible goes on and talks about this matter of dedication, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? Dedicated Christians think differently than undedicated Christians. If you're saved, but the honest truth is you haven't dedicated yourself to the Lord, he's not the most important thing in your life. You haven't fully given him all of you as far as this matter of surrender and sacrifice. You're not going to think the same as a dedicated Christian. The Bible goes on to talk about the danger of being conformed to the world. And let me say this, a separated Christian thinks differently than an unseparated Christian. And so the beginning steps is be saved. And decide that, you know what, when God saved you, he bought you, and you belong to him, lock, stock, and barrel. And that, you know what, we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we do, the love of the Father's not in us. This whole idea of trying to live with one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and try to face the cross and also face the world. You know, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. You know what? You can't face the cross without turning your back on the world, and you can't face the world without turning your back on the cross. And so there's no compromise in these areas. God wants to save us, then he wants us to do our reasonable service, which is to present in our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And then he says, now I'm going to begin a transformation process, and it's going to happen as I renew your mind. And folks, the world is always going to try to push you into thinking like they think. What we've got to do, even as Christians, I'm talking about born again, dedicated, separated Christians, we can still fall in the wrong mindset about some things. And so we need the Bible always and regularly to make sure that, to help us, to be a sounding board, to get us thinking the way we ought to think. Now in Mark chapter number 12, here's the question we're going to answer this week. First or last? First or last? In Mark chapter number 12, Jesus answers a question about the first commandment of all. So we're going to talk about that. What is first in the mind of a victorious Christian? What is last? And you know what? Once you begin to study victorious Christians, I mean people that get it, people that are hitting all cylinders, people have a fervent love for Jesus Christ, and I mean they're dedicated and they're active. You know what? They've settled in their mind, They've settled. There are some things that are first, and there's some things that are going to be last. And now, let me just say this. One of the greatest struggles that I think I have in my life, and probably most Christians, is the proper placement of priorities. Why is it that the things that matter the least seem to stubbornly climb to the top of my priority list. And the things that matter the most seem to fall silently down the list. The most pressing is often not the most important. You know, those things that scream for my time and attention are often not as important as those things that sit silently waiting. And it's hard sometimes to get and to keep our life in proper order, proper priorities. It's a battle to keep first things first. But you're going to notice this. I'm going to sell it to you through the scriptures this morning. Victorious Christians have just settled on some things. And I'm going to help you. Because I think if we're not careful, we get the wrong mindset about what should be first and what should follow after that. One old-time preacher said this, if God is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. Now, I want to say quickly that I understand that we must grow in our dedication to God. I get that. But I do believe this. If you move God from the first place in your life to the second place in your life, he will not long stay second. Because if you can excuse one thing or one person as more important than God, you will eventually excuse the next thing and the next. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if God is not kept first, then eventually he will be last. And by the way, I could give testimony and I could name names and tell you that I watched them begin to put one or two things before God. And you know what? Now they're completely out of church. They're not serving God. Their life is a big, giant zero when it comes to making any kind of impact for eternity. Where did it start? It started by just putting one thing as more important. Well, then maybe we got room for two. Then we got room for three. And you know what, folks? We have to understand that when God delivered the Ten Commandments, the very first one, thou shalt have no other little g gods before me. Let me sell this. Come on, folks. God is not happy and not satisfied and not interested in being second, third, fourth, or fifth in any of our lives. And he has a right and has earned the right to demand the first place in this matter of love and sacrifice and service. And so that's what we're going to try to hit this morning. When it comes to victorious Christians, you know what, folks? They just get this. I mean, they've just decided it. They've nailed it down. And because of that, that means they've got to make some tough decisions sometimes. But you know what? It's not tough for them because they've already decided it. A lot of times they'll be criticized because of the way they prioritize their life. You know, it's easy to start nitpicking and saying, well, they don't care about this, and they don't care about this, and they don't care about this. Excuse me, but let me say this. I don't care about anything as much as I care about God. All right, that shouldn't be foreign to Christianity today. He doesn't deserve a second place position in my life or a third place position in my life. I'm going to really help some of you because some of you, and the devil's come along, and he's even in young people. I want to help the young people. But he's put a little bit of a root of bitterness in some of your heart towards the ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. I understand that. Okay, I want you to understand that I went through some of that too as a young man growing up. My dad was a preacher. And you know what? Sometimes what I got to viewing point and what I started viewing, I had an unscriptural mindset about my dad and the ministry. And a lot of times what we want to say is this, well, you know what? Some men put their ministry before their family. And interesting, instead of putting the word God there, we just put ministry. Could I ask you a question? This is where God had to change my thinking. What is the ministry? What are you mad at? Well, God put the church before he put the family. Wait a minute. Excuse me. And you're walking around with this bitterness now these many years later. What do you mean when he put the church? By the way, whose church is it? And whose ministry is it? See, I think sometimes those are cheap attempts at trying to climb past God into first place. Okay, young people, let me just be honest with you. You know what? If you're not careful, you start demanding of your parents that you come before God. Now stay with me because I'm going to help you with this. When your parents are putting their service to God before family, and I'm not saying, folks, we should leave out family. But I'm going to say this also to the wives. You know what? The best position that God can put you in, that your husband can put you in, is second, not first, when it comes to God. When he puts God first, he is putting you first. Hey, children, when your parents put God first, they are putting you first. Okay, because they're putting themselves and their family in the best place, a position available to receive the blessings of God on their life. So stay with me now. I want to get us to thinking right about this. First or last? Where is God? First or last? We're going to chase this word first through the Bible a little bit. Jesus and others and you, we sang it this morning. What a wonderful way to spell joy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you. Whatever you do, put yourself third and spell joy. But Jesus ought to be first place in our life. Number one, our first commandment is that we supremely love an unseen God. Understand this, folks. We don't see God, but we're to love him more than we love anything or anybody else in the world. One of the scribes, Jesus is going through a question and answer time. It's an attempt by the scribes and the Pharisees to catch him in his words. And they asked, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus, others than you. There is none other commandment greater than these. None other. So you know what? If I don't get the first commandment and I don't obey the first commandment, how am I going to obey the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the rest of the commandments? God says this is the starting point. This is the first of all commandment. And that's that you love God supremely. The first and great commandment points our heart to an unseen God. The command is just that we love him. Not just that we just love him, but we supremely love him. This love is to consume all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and energize all of our strength. This love is to supremely stand head and shoulders above any other love that we can offer to any other person or any other thing or any other object. In fact, Jesus says something very unusual, and I would read it, but I honestly want you to see this. Go to Luke chapter number 14. Hold your place there in Mark, but Luke chapter number 14, because what you're about to hear read are the red letter words of Jesus Christ. It comes out of his mouth and it needs some explanation. It's almost shocking in what he says. But in Luke chapter 14, verse number 25, notice what we read here. Jesus is talking here, verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, notice this, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And our first inclination is to say, wait a minute, wait, time out. In order to love Jesus and put him first in our life, we have to hate our mom, we have to hate our dad, we have to hate our brothers and sisters. Well, that's not too hard. We have to hate our spouses. I mean, wait a minute. What is God saying here? Now, folks, let me say this. One of the ways that you rightfully divide the word of God is that you take all that the Bible says about a subject into consideration before you draw a conclusion. I could take you to the Bible and show you where God commands us to love every single person that's listed there. So if God is commanding us to love our wives, and he does, and to love our children, and he commands us to do that, and love our mom and dad, and he commands us to do that, then why in the world would Jesus use this word hate in this verse of scripture? Now, stay with me. This gives a distance between the first and second commandment. This is a verse of comparison. Okay, and what God is literally saying here is this. If you were to take your love for God and compare it to your love for these other people, the difference ought to be so great that your love for your wife and your family ought to almost appear to be hate in light of your love for God. So we're not talking, folks, stay with me, about you just loving God just a little above these other people. Jesus is saying your love for God ought to be so great that in comparison to your love of these other people, it would appear as hate. Stay with me here, because this isn't what you're going to hear James Dobson say on Focus on the Family. Stay with me. What I'm saying is this. We've elevated this matter of family to the point, and family is important. But we've sometimes made idols of our family and then tried to spiritualize and sanctify us not being involved and obedient and having a full heart for the things of God. Listen, you do not do your family a service by putting family first and God second. See, what I was struggling with as a young person was not understanding that my dad wasn't putting the ministry before Jerry Ross. He was putting God before Jerry Ross. Now, stay with me. He wasn't putting the church before Jerry Ross. He was putting God before Jerry Ross. And you know what? There's a little bit in the heart of every young person that would like to be an idol. They'd really like to be number one. They will pressure their parents at time and put them in a situation where they feel like they are making them choose between God and them. And you know what? If they choose them, then I'll... And by the way, I'm talking right now. I mentioned, you say, you didn't really mention James Dobbs? Yeah, I do. Because I do feel like there's ministries out there that are encouraging people to making idols of their family. All right, now let me just put it down where it lives. Okay? You had to be put into a choice of whether or not you were going to be faithful to God or faithful to your family. Which choice will you make? What we're talking about first and last. We're talking about the mindset of the victorious Christian. I mean, if you don't settle this at some point, then you know what? You're going to be vacillating and wrestling the rest of your Christian life about who really is supposed to be first. And by the way, like I said a minute ago, wives, good night. You shouldn't be struggling against this. You should be rooting for this, because when a husband puts God before you, and puts God first, he is putting you in the best possible position for blessing and the best possible place for your marriage to be blessed. Children, listen to me. You want to be thrilled that you have a mom and dad that do not turn you into an idol. By the way, I'm going to tell you right now, children are idols in this day and age. You know, the average home is 100% dictated in their activities and their finances, where they spend their time and money, based on the kids. Well, I got a preacher. I can't come to church. I got to run the kids to this. 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 They're involved in this. They're involved in this. You know, you see the little bumper stickers. You know, mom's taxi. And my job. Listen, we've been sold this by our culture, that the definition of a good mom is a soccer mom. Not a Sunday school mom, a soccer mom. Okay, it is good, but I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness, amen. I know how John the Baptist felt now. Because the more we shout these things, the more the culture look over at us and say, that's a bunch of crazy people down there. Why? Because God's number one? Excuse me, son, excuse me, daughter. You have no right to be bitter against your parents because they serve the Lord. They're setting the exact correct example for your life. Okay, are you listening to me? I'm talking about this matter of love. No person has a right to demand to be loved above God. Greatest way to tell your children you love them is to love God more than them. The greatest way to tell your wife you love her is to love God more than her. By the way, if your husband loves God more than you, he'll stay with you through thick and thin. Amen. He puts you as an idol above God, then he puts something in God's way that, you know what? By the way, read this whole King James Holy Bible and see what God's command is and what we're to do with idols. Remember when that idol fell? The hands and feet and the head were off of it? I think about that every time I'm tempted to put something above God. What if God just tips it over and destroys it? Okay? 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What an odd verse. What in the world does that mean? That means cursed of God with a bitter and grievous curse. That's what that phrase means. And listen, we talked about getting God's blessing or getting God's curse on your life. You want to be a victorious Christian? You know what? Sorry. Nothing on the radar of my life is loved above God Almighty. I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And by the way, Christians that are doing that are coming under fire. They're fanatics. They've gone crazy on religion. You know, that's just a reasonable service. I mean, come on, folks. Let's do the little girl. Daddy kept walking by her room, and she's playing with her dolls, and then he hears her weeping. I mean, she's in there just playing with the dolls, and next thing you know, she's crying. And he walked in the room, and he said to the little girl, he said, what's the matter? And she picked up a doll and said, watch, Daddy. And she hugged the doll, and she looked down, and the doll was not hugging her back. And she says this, she says, Daddy, I keep loving them, and they won't love me back. And I think of a God in heaven that proved how much he loved us. And you know what? He keeps loving us and keeps loving us and keeps loving us. Hey, could he just get a little love back? Is it wrong for God to demand to be first place in your life? Hudson Taylor was interviewing young people who had surrendered to the mission field, and he asked this question, why do you wish to go to a foreign mission field? Why do you wish to be a foreign missionary? One young man raised his hand and said, because Christ commanded me to. Another one said, because people are lost. A third one says, because there's a hell. Hudson Taylor said this, I fear you all will fail when faced with adversity. Only one motive will keep you where God has called you. The love of Christ constraineth us. He went on to say this, anything less than a supreme love for God is at best a secondary motive for service. Here's the first question, folks. Is God first in your love or last in your love? We talked about the first priority of loving God. The first commandment. The supreme love of an unseen God. Number two, our first priority. Go over to Matthew chapter number six. I want to read this to you. Well, I want the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. Say, preacher, these are hard sayings, yes. In this day and age, they appear so. But folks, that's what the Bible teaches. And that's the right way to live. Our first priority. First of all, our first commandment is to supremely love an unseen God. Number two, our first priority is to supremely seek an undiscovered kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles. Folks, lost people, that's what they're focused on. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here it is. We're looking at the word first this morning. But seek ye, what's it say? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we're talking about our first priority, supremely seeking an undiscovered kingdom. Heavenly concerns battle against earthly concerns. Heavenly rewards, are we chasing them or earthly rewards? How about this, 70 years or eternity? One old evangelist called out to a gathered congregation, are you focused on the vapor or on the rapture? Your life's just a vapor, appear for a short time and vanisheth away. Now, folks, when we talk about seeking the kingdom of God, we're talking about living out the will of God for your life. And you know what? You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I don't have time for the will of God. You see, I've got to get focused on the things of this earth. I mean, I've got to put myself in a situation where I can get the house I want, and the car I want, and the money and the paycheck I want, the toys I want, and the life I want. You know what, folks? The Bible says, doesn't God know that you have need of all these things? As if, you know what? God's not saying, he's saying, I know you need those things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And notice this, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you think God knows this? Now, folks, we're talking about first. First versus second, which is it? Kingdom of God or your kingdom here on earth? Okay, all eternity or 70 years? The vapor or the rapture? Okay, earthly rewards or heavenly rewards? I mean, when it boils right down to it, and I mean the Holy Spirit of God's looking in your heart of hearts, what is your first priority of your life? What consumes your time, your mind, your attention? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, listen to me. I know that God, listen, we're in this world. I understand it. The commands in the Bible that we work. If any man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I get all of that. But for the dedicated Christian, the victorious Christian, you know what work is? First of all, work is a mission field. It's a witnessing opportunity. You know what it is? It's an opportunity to earn enough money to pay the bills so that I can spend the bulk of my time and energies and effort and focus on fulfilling the will of God for my life. Okay? Listen, it can't become about these things. The American dreams become the Christian nightmare. And everybody's focused on how much they can gather. And how. I mean, he who dies with the most toys wins. They don't win at the judgment seat. One of the things that my dad said often as he stood in this pulpit was this: live your life with an eye on the judgment seat. Let me remind you of this, of these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. And folks, listen to me. We are all given whatever kind of a life, as far as length of life we're given, we're given an opportunity to serve and to seek something. And you know what? A lot of the things that consume our time and attention, those works are producing hay and stubble and wood, and at the judgment seat, they're going to burn up. What I'm saying is this: at the judgment seat, God doesn't care, doesn't give a hoot about what kind of car you drove, how fancy of a house you lived in. You know what he's going to care about? Hey, did you go get some children? Did you go get somebody saved? Who'd you bring with you? I mean, listen, where's the silver and the gold and the precious? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what? The devil's got Christian people so consumed with building the Egyptian pyramids that we don't have time to do anything. And you know what? That's not the world's fault. That's our fault. Because you just have to decide what's going to be first. And this is what the question is this morning. What's going to be first and what's going to be last? Okay, in my love, what's going to be first and what's going to be last? When it comes to my work and where I put my heart and my, what's going to be first and what's going to be last. Now look right up here and let me help you, folks. Let me just share the heart of a preacher. I'm going to tell you something that's probably the greatest struggle of my heart right now and greatest burden that I'm carrying about Blessed Hope Baptist Church is I'm watching good people, and we have good people here. But I'm watching the average good young couple so consumed with the things of this world, and so you're sapped of everything, that you don't have an hour a week to go out and knock on a door and witness and share the gospel with anybody. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make the judgment seat better for you right now. You get mad at this preacher if you want to, but you need to live your life with an eye on the judgment seat. There's always another project. I'm not talking about sin. I don't think sin's keeping people in this church from, you know what? I think it's, you know what? What's going to be first and what's going to be last? I'm not talking about going out and drinking and partying and wasting your resources. I'm talking about, you know what? Just chasing that American dream. Got to have the next thing. Got to have the next thing. And we've got to work on this. We need this for the house. Then 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 we need this. Then we need this. Then we need this. Then we need this. And next thing you know what? You're just so consumed about building something that's going to burn. It's all going to burn up. You really want to just say, well, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. And God's reviewing the 20s, okay? Here's the decade of the 20s in your life. I mean, where's the gold? Where's the silver? I was just so busy. Where's the 30s of your life? Next thing you know, the 40s coming. I'm going to do it when I'm older, preacher. I just got to get the kids raised. And then you know what? There's the next thing. Well, we got to get out of debt. And then there's the next thing. Well, now my body's breaking down and I'm tired. I don't have the energy to do it. And you know what? You can, in every decade, make an excuse. Children are little. Children are big. Now it's the grandchildren I got to help with. I mean, there's always a reason. But there's not to the victorious Christian. You know why? Because they've settled some things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's separated living. You can't read this Bible and get away from separation. It's not just seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay? And isn't it interesting? Here was what God says. And all these things shall be added unto you. What's he talking about things? He just said, you're all worried about what you're going to eat. You're worried about what you're going to drink. And God says, you know what? If you'll just put me first, don't you know that I know you have need of these things? But you know what? Don't let that work become the focal point of your life. Don't let it be first. First. Okay? You have no problem accepting overtime and saying no to soul winning? I'd have problems saying no to soul winning and accepting overtime. You know why? Because I've got a different mindset about things. Well, I need a little extra for what? Okay? How you doing? Okay, don't you think if you put God first, he knows you have need of these things? There's a wonderful Bible word that Christians need to become acquainted with. It's called contentment. You're either going to be content or you're going to be covetous. One of those things is going to define who you are. And if you're content, then you know what? Hey, do I have food? Do I have clothing? Do I have shelter? God's good. Let's go serve God. He's taking care of those things. And you know what? If you're covetous, then you know what? You're always going to need the next thing, no matter what God's given you. I watch some people that, you know, in their beginning years, you know, they say, boy, if we could just reach this materially, then you know what? We could just give the rest of our time to God. So they work and they reach that, but the only problem is by the time they get here, now they're dreaming of this. And they work to get that, but isn't it never enough? Do you realize the average American lives like a king, lives like a queen compared to most of the world, 2/3 of the world? I mean, I'm talking about the poorest person in here. If I took you to some third world countries, preacher, we don't have anything. We're not living high on the hog. You have no idea. You're living like a king compared to most of the rest of the world. And yet we just can't be content with what God's given us. Always chasing the next thing. One more thing. One more thing. Hey, folks, it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Is God first in your life or is he last in your life? Is his will more important than, watch this, is his will more important than your wants? We're talking about our first priority. Number three and our last one, our first passion. Our first passion. What's that, preacher? Supremely proclaim the gospel to an unsaved world. I love this verse in Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Sounds like that's a priority. First be published among all nations. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. If you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to decide, is God going to be first and my love for him supreme? Am I going to seek the will of God for my life and build his kingdom, or am I going to spend my time visiting or building my little kingdom down here? And what's the thing that is our passion? Jesus said this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus just made an announcement. Let me tell you the priority of my life. Let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here to seek and to save that which is lost. And we are commanded to be Christians like Jesus. And preacher, what am I supposed to do? Go quit my job and just go full-time into ministry? I understand that, you know what? Not all people are called to do that. But by the way, let me say this. You ought to be willing to do it if God calls you to do it. You ought to be willing to do it if God calls you to do it. But let me just say this. What you are not thinking right about is this. Your job is your ministry. And your family is your ministry. And your church is your ministry. And your trip to Walmart is a ministry opportunity. And everywhere around you, there's lost people. And you know what? We either have our first priority is to supremely seek and share the gospel and talk and proclaim the gospel to an unsaved world. That becomes our passion. Let me ask you something. Is that first or last? Now look right up here, let me help you. If you've constructed your life and you've got it down to the point where you are living your life and not one second of the last month was involved in any effort to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, your priorities are 100% wrong. 100% wrong. You can talk to me after church about all the good things that you did this last month, all the people you helped. I said your priorities are wrong. We've constructed our lives in such a way where last things have become first and first things have become last. God should be loved above anyone or anything else. God's will should be pursued above anything that we would will or want in our life. And the carrying out of the spreading of the gospel should be priority one on our life above any other activity that we have. If those things are not first, then you have allowed your mind to be conformed to the world, because that's what the Gentiles do. That's what lost people do. And we need to have our minds transformed have our lives transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord. Just hit some reset buttons in our life to answer some hard questions. Lord, I pray, I know the ravens of hell are waiting outside the door of the church, and I don't want the seed to fall on hard hearts, on hard ground, and seed be plucked out. And the easiest thing in the world is just get through another invitation, walk out, and go back into another week with unbiblical, unscriptural priorities. Excusing them, make excuses for them, talk about how busy we are, and boy, if I only have time in one of these days. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to develop the mindset of the victorious Christian. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I want you to listen real carefully to your preacher. Is there anything or anyone that you love more than you love God? Is there anything or anyone that you love more than you love God? How about the will of God? Is there anything to you more important than the will of God? Let me ask you this. Who would you follow out of the will of God? Who has become so big or so important in your life that you would rather please them than God? Can I say this? Your thinking's messed up. Your mind's messed up. You've been conformed to the world. Let me say this. Where is this matter of spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel? Where is that on the priority list of your life? Are you a witness? Are you a soul winner? Do you care about lost souls? We're talking about first things first. Heavenly Father, please help us, Lord. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. And I ask, Lord, for your help. Holy Spirit, I ask for your help. Break up the fallow ground. Lord, help us not to just checklist another Sunday morning and we put our time in and we heard another message and we go right back to living a life that's anything but victorious. I pray, Lord, that you'll do something in the hearts of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name.